Om Shanti.
Okay, Om Shanti again. Good morning. This is the first time we do something like this. It's a special course which will last 3 mornings. It will be from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and I hope you all enjoy and you all be happy and satisfied with that. Especially this course is with Brother Ken. Many of you have know him. He has been to many of the countries here. He's one of our senior brothers from the West. He came to Guyana in 76, 75, and he has been to Brazil since 79. And from there, many countries emerged in the whole Latin America. So he'll be sharing today some of his experience on soul consciousness, today and the day tomorrow and the day after. So I don't want to take more time from you. Please enjoy the session.
Hello, Om Shanti. Just out of curiosity, how many of you have English as their first language? English is the first language, okay. About 10. That tells me how I will speak. Who is not having English as their first language, but they're listening in English? Okay, good. Who's listening to translation? Well, they see the majority. So that makes our work more special, right? As you can see, our technical part has been a little bit delayed. Yeah, I can't do much unless he puts the sound up. I'm going to come down here, actually. In an ideal world, all of this is done half an hour before and not half an hour after the program starts. But the brothers got confused about where to go. So we're going to be looking at a very, I guess, important topic from different angles. And we know that soul consciousness is the basis of our spiritual development. In fact, if there's no soul consciousness, there's really nothing we can do. We can't even meditate unless we're soul conscious. Translation, okay? I remember especially when I was born in a very small town. Actually, I grew up in a small town that only had 300 people. And a very beautiful place, south of Sydney. About 500 kilometers south of Sydney in Australia. And I was very much I did not like big cities. Is anyone here from a small town? Coming from a small town? Yeah? So, it's better, no, than a big city. In many ways. So, I was brought up, the place where I lived, that had mountains and forests and lagoons, and I was 50 meters from the beach. And so, the name of the nearest town was called Eden, just to make it thing interesting. And I really did not like big cities. Somehow I felt claustrophobic, you know, couldn't handle it. And I came into Guyana in London in 75 when there was just a few students. Soon after that, about three months after that, I went back to Australia to help. There was a new centre in Sydney. But soon after I arrived, the centre closed. And I was alone. The nearest centre then was in Hong Kong or in Calcutta or somewhere. And I still did not like big cities. It was something that I had not conquered in myself. And the worst thing was that I had to go to, at that time I had to have a job because I was living in I started a new center, a small place, but the main sustainer of the center was the salary that I was earning, you know. So I had to work to sustain this place. And then things started. From that center, the service in Australia started. And so I had to go to work every day, and I had to take a bus, go down to the downtown, which was just about 4 or 5 kilometers away, go underneath the railway station in a tunnel under 20 platforms. There was a tunnel under the station, the main station in Sydney, and come out the other side and take another bus. And that was a horrific experience, you know. Someone who doesn't like crowds, doesn't like lots of people, I had to walk through that tunnel. You know the expressions of people when they're going to work, right? How do they look? So I would walk, and there was thousands of people coming through this tunnel in the opposite direction to me, and they were all walking like this. And by the time I'd reached the other side, I'd forgotten the Mooli, I'd forgotten Amritville, I'd forgotten everything. I couldn't, because I was feeling bad. The vibration was very, very powerful for me. My personal preference would be to be in a place where there were no people. Maybe I have some sannyasi sanskars just before coming into Gyan. In fact, I spent 6 months alone and in silence. I was practicing Raja Yoga from Patanjali, you know. And so I had that inclination. So going through that tunnel every day was like a torture for me. And then one day I had the thought, no, I'm going to go through the tunnel giving drishti to the people. Right? So I thought, well, not many people are coming to the center, so let me give drishti to at least 1,000 people every morning as I go through this tunnel. It was a pedestrian tunnel, right? And of course I was not walking in a strange way, you know, like looking like this. Just naturally. And by the time I got to the other side, I was feeling great. And then every day I started to look forward to the experience of going through the, you know, being able to give drishti to so many people. And so I had the practical experience of how soul consciousness helped me to develop, I would say, courage to stay in a place where there are a lot of people. At that time, Sydney had 5 million people. And so a few years later, Baba sent me to a city which now has 22 million people. So I'm in a place where it's one of the biggest cities in the world now, which is Sao Paulo. 22 million people there. And that's the same population as Australia, actually. Same population. So I had the, you know, I had the practical experience of how soul consciousness helps me to, you know, if I walk along the street, for example, it becomes natural for me now to just to be walking in a state of soul consciousness. What I'd like you to do in groups of twos and threes, maybe with people who speak, definitely with people who speak your language, I want you to just introduce yourselves and give one benefit that you've had from the practice of soul consciousness. Okay? So move together in groups of twos and threes. If we can do that, it'd be great. Yeah? You don't speak Russian, right? So in groups of twos and threes, introduce yourselves and talk about one practical benefit that you have taken from being soul conscious. Just as sort of a icebreaker. So if you're not sitting near somebody, sit together with someone who speaks your language. Okay? We're going to try and make this course as practical as possible. I've got a few slides, but I'm not going to depend on them. More pictures than anything else. But I want to show you something. But it requires everyone to stand up, leave their places, and move into maybe this space here or the corridors. So if everyone can get up, and I want you to sort of stay close to people who speak your language. So please, everyone stand up. Move into the open spaces. Translation okay? Yeah? Move into the open spaces, if you can. Yeah? There's lots of space here, even up on the stage if you want. So I want to simulate the chaos that we live in the world, yeah? If we can. It's not difficult. Brahmins are also quite chaotic. Yeah? Okay, I want to ask you, what is your favorite complaint? Yeah. Do you find yourself complaining about things sometimes? Yeah? Who does not have any complaint at all? No complaints about any... Oh, in Maraban, that's okay. Maybe a complaint that you used to have frequently. For example, I don't have enough time, right? What other complaints? Nobody helps me. Right? What else? Pardon? Everything is helter-skelter, means everything is chaotic. What else? Huh? It's too hot. Okay, too hot. I don't have enough time for sleep. Okay. So what I want you to do is remember the complaint that you used to have before, right? If you don't have any complaints now, right? But what I want you to do is remember the phrase that characterizes your complaint, right? Have you got the phrase? It's too hot. So I want you to make this into a mantra, okay? This phrase now becomes a mantra. So you're going to repeat, not enough sleep, not enough sleep, not enough sleep, too hot, too hot, too hot. And I want you to move around and in a very exaggerated way, you know, it's too hot, you know. In a very exaggerated way, we're going to be body conscious for a few minutes, okay? Okay, move around, saying your phrase, say it in your language. Come on, move around. Come on. Louder, louder. Too much to do. Okay, stop. It's funny, isn't it? Ridiculous, right? It's ridiculous, right? Yeah. Okay, what I want you to do now is to move around a little bit more introspectively. Be good if you moved, actually. Come out here, yeah? You can watch if you want to. So I want you to just move around looking at the floor. Very slow steps. Just move around looking very slowly looking at the floor. Walk. Very slowly looking at the floor. Yeah? And I want you to think about something that you really love to be able to do. Maybe you've already started it. Maybe it's a stage that you'd like to arrive at. Something that really makes you happy when you think about it. This is what I want to be. This is what I want to do. Yeah? So now stop. Stop where you are. Stop. Think about, you know, close your eyes a little bit. Try to visualize this dream that you have for your life. Something that you really would like to be able to do. If you had the chance and the opportunity, maybe you've already started to do that. Maybe you're already living that. Maybe you haven't arrived at 100% of what you'd like to do. But you've got this very high ideal, very high aim. Yeah? Now, you've got your eyes closed. You've got to remember yourself. In the future, this is what I will be. Okay, now open your eyes and form a partner with somebody who speaks your language. Make a group of two with somebody. And I want you to share what your dream was. Share about it. Group of two, huh? I've shared already. No curiosity. Very, just in one, no, not in one sentence. Explain further why. Why is that what you want? Okay. Okay? Let's stop. You were able to share a little bit, right? How do you feel the difference between this moment and when we were all just complaining about things? What's the difference? Explain to your friend. What's the difference that you feel? No, explain. Yeah, the difference between the first moment when we were complaining and this moment when you were talking about your dream. Okay. Okay, can we continue? Let's go back, let's start moving around, and this time you don't need to find someone who speaks your physical language. You don't need, because you do it in silence. So we can be more free now, more open. We're going to go beyond language. Right? So let's start moving around slowly again, looking at the floor. But now you are very conscious. You are the soul moving your body. Actually, nothing moves without your permission. You lift up one foot and put it down, then you lift up the other foot and put it down. But every single step is very conscious. The soul is controlling each step. And you're watching your feet, you're watching the feet of others. Keep moving, slowly, slowly. But every single movement, it's the soul that is controlling the movement. You know, even the walking, imagine if you didn't have any legs, like some people. Imagine if you couldn't walk anymore. So even walking is a miracle in a sense. And you are the soul moving your vehicle. You are the soul moving your body. Right? Any direction. You can turn around, move, just looking at the floor, not looking at faces or bodies, just looking at the floor and looking at the feet. The soul is controlling every single movement. Okay, stop where you are, stop. Keep looking at the floor. Now move yourself towards someone so that you're facing someone. Okay? Anyone. Doesn't matter. They don't need to speak your language. Anyone. The nearest person to you. Okay? You're still looking down. Now close your eyes. Become aware of the place behind the eyes where we know the soul sits. Between the two sides of the brain, the seat of the soul, in the middle of the forehead, a few centimeters behind that point, actually. And feel your value. Just think of how many things Baba tells us about ourselves. I'm the soul, I am the peaceful soul, I am the loveful soul. I am the blissful soul. The body is just my vehicle. And I'm feeling, with my eyes closed, I'm feeling that I'm shining in the middle of the forehead. Now, when I say, I'm going to say for you to open your eyes, not now, but when I say open your eyes, you can open them. But when you open your eyes, you are going to look at the soul in the other and really see behind the face, behind the eyes, see this shining point of light and give the deepest things that are in you to the other soul through your gaze, through your looking. Okay, open your eyes. See the soul in the other, in the middle of the forehead. Silent communication now. Just give the best in you to the other one. Behind the face, behind even the sex of the body, behind the age of the body, behind everything, there's the shining star. That really, we are really connected because both of us are remembering Baba. And so there's a sort of a triangle that forms. The two souls are remembering Baba and remembering and looking at each other. So imagine there's a sort of a triangle here. Both of us are remembering Baba and giving the spiritual power to the other. Okay. Very gracefully, very angelically, you can move back to your seats. Go back to your seats now. Okay, I want you to share in that same little group that you were before. What was your experience just now? And the difference between the first experience when we're very body conscious, complaining about everything, then we're more emotional, connected with something that we really want to do, and now we're beyond even that. So just share in your little group of two or three people what happened. Okay? If you're sitting alone, find somebody, because we're going to be doing a lot of work in little groups. What happened? How did you feel? Okay? Fine? How you feel? Feeling okay? So I want to introduce a few different things here. Basically, first of all, instead of just explaining that there are these three dimensions, I took you through the experience of them. So there's a dimension we could say is very physical, and also I would say intellectual in a way, very gross and even dense, confused maybe. This is the level where most people spend most of their time. And unfortunately, Brahmins also sometimes. You know, just to take an example, the word service, Baba uses the word seva, which we translate into service, which could be just like actions, right? This is the action world. And so even this has these dimensions, right? Because seva means, this is the dictionary definition, if you go into Sanskrit. It means work dedicated selflessly to God. Right? So, this is the meaning. But often, service is not that, right? It's just some action, some activity. Then there's the emotional sort of mental dimension where we, you know, where feelings are and, you know, where we keep our dreams, perhaps. This was the second exercise. This is where we were complaining, right? This is the complaint world. This is the feeling world. It sort of, it has meaning for us. This is the meaning level of things. And so, we often leave this dimension to spend time here. And often here, in fact, we're not actually creating anything, we're just fantasizing. So sometimes it can be the world of fantasy also. Where something you're creating in your mind is not real. It's just a dream. It's not real. And never is real. One day I will be able to, you know. One day when I've got everything together, when I, you know, I often hear the following. When you've been in Gyan for a long time, you see everything. And you see people who, when I retire, I will give more time to Baba, for example. And they don't. It's, the karmic accounts don't allow them. So as Baba says, you transfer your love. As you go up, you leave your parents and get to your friends, then you get to your wife, husband, then children, and then grandchildren. So, one day we will be able to be free from our karmic accounts, right? One day I won't have this sore foot or this sore knee or something. So often we spend a lot of time here. So we leave this sort of gross world and we start to move around here a little bit, you know. And then we go back here because this is where our karmic accounts are, right? In fact, it's not a problem of having no time. It's a problem of not having organized yourself, right? It's not a problem that no one cooperates with me. The problem is that I probably am not inspiring people to cooperate, and so on. So, mostly, we spend our time between these two dimensions. And I would say that mostly, even this one, this doesn't work. Even this one is very body conscious also, right? Because it's the ego. When I will have this, when I will do this, when I am able to be there or to go there or to, you know, it's still a projection of the ego, the limited ego. Now, the third experience was really just, this is a spiritual dimension, where I am, basically. I am what I am. I am who I really am, yeah? When we have retreats sometimes, the people say, well, we've got, in Brazil we have four retreat centers. small ones, but we've got four of them. And so almost in a couple of them we have retreats every weekend, and normally for outside people. And they all say on the Sunday, this is fantastic, but how are we going to keep this when we get back to reality on Monday? And of course the answer to that is, this is the reality. Monday is not the real thing, you know. When you're living here, very few things are real. When you're living here, very few things are real. The real and the true and the eternal is this one. And so, I need to spend more time here, right? Do you agree? Because here I don't have any lack of anything. Here, yes, I'm still searching, I'm still wanting, I'm still desiring. I've still got a dream that I'm going to, you know, even a spiritual dream. I'm going to live in a center. I don't know many people have that dream anymore. But, you know, maybe, I'm not happy here. I'm not happy in the center that I'm living. I'll go and start a center somewhere else. Let me tell you, 99% of such cases don't work out. Because if you're not satisfied, probably there's no guarantee that you're going to be satisfied somewhere else. Okay, you're having difficulty with a few people, you go somewhere else. There's no guarantee that you're going to be free from difficulties. Because if your sanskars don't change, you will continue to attract the same sorts of situations anyway. You know, a real spiritual honor is when you can say, welcome difficult souls. Right? I've only got 3 difficult souls in my radar, right? I want at least 40. Then you can say to Baba, yes, this is spiritual honor. I can live through any difficult situation or difficult people, no problems. Because what sustains me is not from here and not from here even. One of the deeper things, and this is what we're going to explore in these 3 days. The ultimate aim of our spiritual life is to have and sustain the experience of one or the other of our original qualities. Everything I do has to point towards me becoming the embodiment of peace or of love or of happiness or of wisdom. So if I'm not doing that, if I'm just sort of getting lost here, you know, this is where my work is, Lokik even, this is where my relationships are normally, unless I start to see them at a different level, right? The other day I was with some souls, and they were asking about the fact that in Christianity, detachment is not very much there in the Bible, right? It's not there. Detachment is something much connected with the Oriental traditions. Yeah? But I said to them, go to Luke 14:26. Have a look at it. Jesus says, you have to hate your mother, father, wife, children, and even your own life if you want to be my disciple. So the word's even stronger than detachment, right? You can see it. So he's saying, if you want to follow me, you have to hate your... We don't say that. But it's in the context of that first commandment, which is to put God above everything else, right? Love God more than anything. That's the first commandment for the Christians. Do you remember? Who has a Christian background here? Mostly. Yeah? Okay. So, in the context of really going to this level, we have to position these two dimensions differently. You know, what makes me happy is from this side and not necessarily from here or from here. What makes me peaceful is something from inside me. You know, even when I experience peace, it's my peace. I don't experience God's peace. He can help me to experience my peace. I don't experience His love. I can see His love, but if I experience love, it's my love. Right? He makes me feel my own love. He makes me feel my own peace. He makes me feel my own happiness. Otherwise, unless we do that, we just become admirers. We are just admiring. And admiration is devotion. Unless we become what we admire, we are just like devotees. Yeah? So one of the things that was brought up in our NCCC meeting, you know? Yeah. We have this Lokic world and the Lokic experience. And for some people that's very, you know, interesting, very important. In fact, there are things that we have to learn in the Lokic world to be able to help in service sometimes. But it's not a qualification. You know, it's a qualification for Baba is a spiritual qualification. So what, you're a great sort of writer. Now you become a spiritual writer. So great. So what? You're a lawyer, you know? Great. Baba needs some lawyers. But he needs people who are spiritually inclined more than anything, yeah? So we come from that world, and there's this other world that we all know too. The service task, the center life, you know, the organizing programs, organizing everything. And of course, the dance of sanskars in the, yeah? Who knows about the dance of sanskars? You know, once I was with 500 BKs in Brazil. There were 500, we were doing a retreat. And I asked them if the person that they've most suffered from in their life was another BK. How many put up their hands? About 70%. And then I asked, okay, is the person still sitting in the room? The person from whom they've most suffered. I said, don't be afraid, you know, to put your hand up. But it's like, we have had a long history together. Even at that question, 50% of the people said yes. The person that I most suffer from is still sitting in this room. So, Baba has given us each other to become perfect, in a sense. So, we are much less tolerant of other Brahmins than we are of our Lokic people, right? Yeah? We seem to have more expectations of Brahmins than the Lokic people. But anyway, we have this dance. And at the same time, there's this third dimension, which is our development based on soul consciousness. You know, the spiritual development. In fact, if you wanted to, you could always, that you're going to use the word spiritual, you could use the word soul conscious. Yeah? So, where are you in your effort? Where is your focus? What occupies your mind more? Is it the Lokic world and the things that you're getting and understanding there, the problems at work and, you know, money and family and so on and so forth? Is that where your energy is tied up? Or is it in the service world, of the dance of sanskars with other Brahmins and trying to get something to happen, you know, and trying to advance in the center life, or if you're in charge of a center, who's a center coordinator here? Okay. Any problematic students in your center? At least there's one normally, just to keep you on your toes, you know. But concerned about, you know, the sustenance of the center and the making sure that everything's working properly and so on. Is that where your focus is, mainly? What occupies your thoughts? What is it that occupies your thoughts? Or are you, you know, that's too difficult. Brahmins are too difficult. I don't want to know about any of these Brahmins. Lokic world, you know, I just need a couple of chapatis and a bowl of dal. No, you know, I'm not worried about that. I even know a brother, for example, I said, why don't you go to the dentist? Because he had bad teeth. He said, I don't need to go to the dentist. The teeth that I have are going to last to the destruction anyway. And that was about 30 years ago. Now he doesn't have any teeth. So these are the... Some people get stuck inside of this sort of a pseudo soul-conscious world, a fake soul-conscious world, you know. Sometimes you see them walking around in Madhavan, you know. Hello, brother. If you're really spiritual, you don't have to tell people, you don't have to advertise. If you're good, you don't have to say you're good. Just be, really. So, the main thing here, in fact, is the interface. The interfaces between how does my soul consciousness help in the Lokic world and how does it help in the service world? Basically, that's our big challenge. And, of course, this is a deep thing, you know. If we go back to probably the word ego, I don't know what Mike is talking about in his course. We're going to talk about it a bit here. In our world, the word was made popular by Sigmund Freud. Before that, it was not a popular word. And, it's interesting how he positioned it, but if you go to a dictionary, the word ego just means I. It's from Latin or Greek, I think. Latin, certainly. It means I. The self. But of course they don't know that there's a body conscious I and a soul conscious I. They just think it's one thing, right? So the ego is the I. But in fact, it's the thinking person, the feeling person behind the identity, the physical identity. And one of the things that he says, it's a mediator between the id, which we like our sanskars, this is from Freud, and the world around us. So this I is being pushed by instincts, according to Freud, but we know that the I is being pushed by sanskars. Instincts are part of the sanskars. They're being pushed, and of course, in between the world around us and the sanskars, this thing called the ego. Yeah? Got it? That's how it's talked about. So many Brahmins try to annul the ego, which is impossible. It means to make it zero. The problem is not the ego, because ego has been used as a synonym for arrogance also. Problem is the arrogance of the ego, not the ego itself. Because the ego is just I, you know. I am not the problem. It's the sort of I that I am, which is the problem. And this is a deep thing, because if we look at it, you know, they can see very clearly. This picture shows a lot of things. You know, who am I going to be today? You know, there's a big meeting on. Oh, my grandchildren are going to visit me. Or, you know, I've got a meeting with a difficult student. Which face am I going to put on today? Many have this sort of difficulty. And one of the biggest causes of stress, in fact, is to pretend that you are someone that you're not. I have to be the best me that I can be. That's it. If I want to be spiritually developed, I have to learn to value what I am. Now, I'm going to show you something here and tell a story. I was asked to give a talk in the central bank in Brazil, because I had written a book called Values in the Workplace, and the HR person had picked up a copy of the book in the airport, and he said, "Oh, this is interesting. Can you come and give a talk about values in the workplace, about the book?" I said, "Okay, fine." Now, when I arrived there, the day before, because they were going to televise this talk to all of the units of the central bank throughout the country, in Brazil. Brazil has got, I think, 23 states. So at each state capital they were going to show this talk. And as I walked into the building, there was a big sign talking about a campaign that they wanted to have treat money, paper money, they wanted to treat it with more care. Yeah? So that they had calculated if people treated paper money with more care, they wouldn't have to print so much, and that in 1 year they could save $20 million by printing costs, because people were having more care with the money, not just sort of treating it any old how, right? So I said, this is good, I'm going to use this in the talk. So that night I made a colored photocopy of 100 real note, which is about $50. There's about 2 reals to the dollar. Real is the money in Brazil. So I made a photocopy, colored one, of a 100 real note. And I was sort of thinking, should I do it or not, because it's like a bit risky. Anyway, I decided to go into the talk. In the middle of the talk, I pulled this out of my pocket. It's 100 real. And I said to the people, okay, I'm feeling very generous today. Who wants 100 real? Right? Anyone? So imagine you're sitting there in the audience. I offer $50. Who wants $50? You want it? Yeah? Okay. And then I did like this. And there was silence. You know, the organizer looked at me with, what are you doing? You know, do you still want it? Yeah? Who put their hand up? Yeah? You want it? Okay. And then I threw it on the floor. Jumped on it. I picked it up. I said, you still want it? They said, yeah. Then I opened the note up. A little like that. Okay. There was real silence when I did that, right? I'm in the central bank, and they didn't know it was a fake note, right? I'm ripping up one of the, you know, it's the basis of the society, right? Money, right? And there I'm ripping up a note. I say, you still want it? In my pocket there was some sticky tape, right? I gave the roll. I even give you the tape to stick the two pieces together. You want it? Still want it? And they say, yeah, we can change it in the central bank. And then I said, don't worry, it was a fake note. And they said, what, a fake note? Counterfeit note in the central bank. I said, I wouldn't never do this with real money, of course. But the thing is, whatever I did to this note, its value continued to be the same. Yeah? Right? So in the same way, if the world screws me up, if the world jumps on me, if the world tears me in half, I continue to have same value. Is that right? Now, that's what soul consciousness is, basically. It's the consciousness of my value of being a soul. If that changes, you can't really say that it's soul consciousness. Yeah? There are a few things. Let's see, we've got a... This is working. Oh, yeah. We're going to have a break in a few minutes. There are different things, some people live according to different objectives, right? These are the things that make up their life. They pursue objectives, whatever they are. You know, and that's like living in the world that we could use the verb have. This is the have world, right? Then there is the if you do a graph of your movements, the things that you've done in the last 2 months, for example, and we're going to look at this in a minute, you are going all over the place, you know. This is what you're doing looks like, actually. Imagine a camera above your head following your movements for 2 months, wherever you went, you know. It's filming you, and then you sit down and you play it very fast. What would it look like? What would it look like? Crazy. Like this, no? This is the do world. Then there's the feel world. Ups and downs, the feelings, right? But the basic verb is the verb to be. And that doesn't change. It's the same. There are things about me that are true. Forever. Do I ever stop being a soul? Does that ever happen, that I stop being a soul? Is there at any moment I'm not a child of God? So there are things that don't change. And if I want to be stable in my consciousness, and we're going to look at this, I have to grab on to this bottom one. I have to grab on to the things that don't change. So it means I have to grab on to the things that are values forever. So my value, real value, never changes. My consciousness of that value changes. And that's where we are when we're looking at this, you know. Even this person here is not very happy, right? She's trying to be happy. So let me put on a happy mask. Now let me put on the mask. I'm the boss of this department, you know. Let me put on now I'm visiting my kids, no? Let me put on my parents' mask. But who am I behind the mask? You know, what is real effort? Daddy was talking about last night. The only effort that I have to do is to be to be what I am. Nothing more. And so, I mean, we have to sort of, we're looking at the outside world, right? And it's very crazy, right? I don't see much difference, really. There's no real difference between those dimensions that I talked about. You know, the Lokic world and the service world. In fact, it's just one world. Everything outside of me is a service field. Yeah? There's no real distinction. So whether I'm doing something in the center or if I'm doing something at my work, it's still the same. There's no difference. So there's one world outside. Some things are more complicated than others. Some people are more complicated than others. But it's the same world. So I don't have to divide it. Now this is my Lokic life and this is my, you know, service life. No. It's all one life, not two. Of course, I have to be very yukti-yukt. But I don't have to put on a different mask. Now I'm a BK, right? And now I'm at my work. No, I'm the same. I haven't changed. Some Brahmins are very schizophrenic. Yeah? Like they're in the center, baba, 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 baba. And then, they, you know, as soon as, what does Baba say? At the gate, there's a big alligator with the mouth open. And we step into the mouth of the alligator. So it's basically just one thing. And when I look inside myself, you know, when I look inside, I have to find something good, right? Should be a good experience. If I go inside, it shouldn't be confused like the outside world. And this is the conversation that we have to get right. Who do we talk with most? Who do we talk with most? Yeah? What's your most popular word? I. Check how many times you've used it in one day. Yesterday I was reading a report. 60% of all interpersonal communication, 60%. Is about you. So you're talking with others, but you're actually talking about yourself. Talking to others often is just the same talk that you're talking to yourself. That's why many times communication doesn't work. So I'm talking with the other person, but it's the conversation that I need to have with myself. Yeah? And so, for example, this thing of blaming or complaining, you know? You are the one who is making me unhappy. No, I have to do like this. You are the one who is making me unhappy. Right? Who makes me unhappy? So, you know, we have to sort this conversation out. And so after the break, we're going to talk about the different polarities, you know, inside of ourselves. Okay? So let's have a minute silence and we can have a 15-minute break, okay? 1 minute silence. Om Shanti. So, move around, go for a break, come back in 15 minutes. Translation, okay? Russian translation? No? Is it working? Yes? Where is she? Where is the translator? Hello. It's okay there? Okay. Okay, let's have, I'll go up on the stage and we can have some 10 minutes of meditation, okay? No music. Maybe here is better, yeah. Okay, sit nicely. Keep your hands free. Hands free. Sit like kings on your thrones, right? Music. Natural. Okay, just look at the Shiv Baba behind me, okay? Just to rest your gaze on Shiv Baba. I'll give a few thoughts. That's a basic sequence of becoming detached. In the context of what we said in the first part this morning. Just become aware of the things that are happening around you at the moment. You can hear the fan, you can hear the fans. You're aware of the colors and the forms. You're aware of your own breathing. There are 360 degrees of things happening around. Not just here in Shantivan. Imagine how many departments are doing whatever they have to do at this moment. So many things. And then in this town and in this country, in the world, how many things are happening? And I'm in the center of everything. I can hear the sounds, I'm aware of the colors and the forms. I'm aware that there's a lot of movement around me. But I'm just the detached observer. In the same way that I'm sitting on my seat physically, let's visualize the seat of the soul. And I, the soul, am sitting in the middle of the forehead, a few centimeters back. All of the different systems and controls of the body come here. All of the sensations and the perceptions come here to this point. So I'm in the center of my piece of this world. In the same way, I'm in the center of my life. They're the Lokic responsibilities and work. The people around me, the other BKs. I'm aware of my roles and responsibilities. But I'm detached. I'm detached. Around me is the personal world that I have created. And because I'm in the center of my world, I'm stable, I'm not moving. As Baba says, Master Creator. So I'm sitting in the middle of my creation. Also detached observer. On one side I feel very close to Baba. On the other side I'm aware of the world around me. Not just physically, the sounds and the shapes and the colors, the sensations. I'm also in the center of my life and the life that I've created for myself. And the fact that I become stable also affects everything that depends on me. All of the network, all of the network that spreads out from me, the connections, the relationships, the tasks, everything. I'm in the center of that. I am still very quiet, very peaceful, very content. I'm very close to Baba. So open your eyes a little bit more, and gradually we come back to the room here. And so we can continue. Okay? Feeling okay? Good? We will make this presentation available for everyone, so you don't need to draw all of the diagrams. Anything that's not on the diagrams, of course, maybe you can be noting down, and the things that I do over here too. But basically, and in the break, sister from Greece confirmed, the word I in Greek, oh dear, what happened? Okay. The word I in Greek is ego. Where is that sister from Greece? Yeah. Right? Ego. I. Ego. So it's not a question of conquering ego. You have to change it. Purify it. Ah. Good. So, Om Shanti. So you don't need to copy everything. Therefore, what I was saying is that there are two sides to us. And it's like different polarities. So that, you know, on one side, the body and all of the concerns of the body. What are some of the concerns of the body, for example? Health. Money, because you have to have money to, you know, food, sleep. You're saying not enough sleep. Yeah? What else? Job, yeah, of course you have to work to keep it. You know, the whole thing of keeping the body alive is a big work, right? Sometimes you say, you know, it takes 2 hours to prepare the meal and 20 minutes to demolish it, right? To eat it. And then another hour to clean up. So it's a lot of work, right? It's a lot of work. So the body has a lot of concerns. And when the eye is based there, you can get lost in a maze of things, right? So that's one area of body consciousness, the body itself. The other area of body consciousness are the roles. Even BK roles, by the way. Because many BKs, you know, it's still body consciousness, that they've just put a BK in front of it. In the past I was, you know, I am so and so, I'm from such and such a place, and my family is such and such. Now I am from St. Petersburg, you are from Moscow, or I am from Athens and you are from Rome, you know. In Brazil there are two cities also that are very competitive, there's Rio and São Paulo, right? So I am from São Paulo, I am from Rio, okay? So now it's I am from London Centre, you know. I am from Harmony House in New York. I've been in Gyan 20 years, you know. I am in charge of such and such a center. It's still body consciousness. No different. Absolutely no different. So what is the thing that we've changed all of the other adjectives for a new set? If you know, I'm still proud in the same way that I used to be. No change. I've just changed the objects. But I haven't changed the consciousness. Right? We see this, I'm not joking, right? Does that happen? It's still this side. I'm in charge of the kitchen department. I'm in charge of the office, you know. Video department is my department, right? So, that's not really spiritual consciousness, is it? And the most difficult thing of all is to be free from our own story, right? I was born, my parents, they used to fight a lot. And my dad used to hit me with a belt. When I was about 12, my parents divorced. You know, I had to live with my mum. And, you know, I could only see my dad once a month. And suddenly I finished my college. Then I went to university. I studied this. It was difficult, but I passed. And then I set up a clinic with some friends. You know, because I studied dentistry. It was really difficult, but I was able to. Then I came into Gyan, you know, and now I'm meditating. The story is too big. Right? So when you say I, does it have that whole story behind it? Or is it free from the story? Or when you say I, does it have all of those roles behind it? You know, if you see old people talking, they normally talk about health, you know. You visit your grandparents, for example, it's all about, you know, my knee, my shoulder. So when you say I, what is behind that? All of this stuff? Because if all of this stuff is behind it, this body consciousness, right? I'm not the body. Yeah? I'm not the body. I'm the soul. You know, what are the concerns of the soul? Huh? Yeah, happiness, peace. The concerns of the soul are, I have to go home. You know, I'm a visitor here. Nothing here is permanent. Nothing that I put on as a label is permanent. Everything is temporary. I can leave this body any moment. Some people do. I remember that time that Bubba was talking about suddenly. Remember a few years Bubba was talking about anything can happen suddenly? Well, there's so many stories, but imagine this scene. Generally in our centres, on a Saturday morning, mostly in the centres in South America anyway, after the Morley on Saturday morning, everyone stays behind to help clean, right? I don't know if that happens in your place, because Saturday is a holiday in that part of the world. And they stay clean. So one sister, she's very enthusiastic. She makes breakfast for everybody. And she, you know, then she goes and her part of the karma yoga was in the garden and she was helping with the garden, very enthusiastic. Around about 11 o'clock, she starts to feel strange as if she's getting a fever. Then she starts to get worse and worse. The fever goes up and up and up. At 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they take her to the hospital. And at 3 o'clock the next morning, she left her body. Just like that. You can imagine, when she woke up in Amrit Bela the day before, fantastic experience, flying with Baba. And the next day before Amrit Bela, she left her body. Out of nothing. Just like that. Took Elsa. Yeah, Liliana knows her. So you see, anything can happen. We come and go, you know. If someone showed you a photograph of your previous family, and they probably, you do have photographs of your previous bodies, probably, right? Somewhere. Is that right? They must be somewhere. You know those old photographs with the brown ones, you know? There must be. Maybe the body before that too, because photography is here since 1890. Yeah? So probably there's a few photographs of your three previous bodies. Right? Imagine if someone comes to you and says, hey, this is you. This one. And you say, what? Nah, not possible. In that photo, I'm a woman. Or I'm a man, or I'm big, I'm small, ugly, beautiful, whatever. Because the distance between me and that body is the same distance between me and this one. Right? Is that right? The roles, for example. I only have one role. What is it? What is the one role that I have? The main role. Huh? Yeah, that's part of it. Huh? I'm the soul, but as a role, main role is? Yeah? This one. I'm Baba's instrument. One role. The roles that I have on this side are secondary, not primary. So whether they are roles in the center or they're roles in the world, you know, I'm an instrument of Baba to be the father of someone. I'm the instrument of Baba to look after the office. Yeah? So, soul consciousness, when you say I, which I is speaking? This one or this one? Which I has the problems? Which one has the problems? This side. Yeah? Which I say, oh, it's really difficult, I don't think I'll be able to make it. Which I is speaking? This one. Nobody understands me. Which one? Right? So when you're saying, oh, I did this, I did that, which I is doing that? Yeah? That's the thing. When you say, I, when you say, my mum used to make such incredible cookies when I was young. This one, right? You know, I really had a hard time at university. Which one? I'm really having difficulty with this person who's in charge of my centre. Right? I can't understand so and so. If we go to this side, I can understand. Everything is bigger, right, suddenly. I'm an eternal soul, you know, looking at this. And, you know, it's something that I'd like to show you something here, which is, maybe some of you have seen this. But it makes it very easy to understand. Not the best, but... Where is the colours? Huh? Here it is. You see... Most of us have a limited idea of things. Because we're confined to this physical dimension. We're in the physical dimension, remember? And maybe in the emotional one, ups and downs. Sometimes we're in the spiritual one. But mostly we stay here. So there, we have a limited vision of time. So I was born here. This is the timeline. I was born here sometime in the future. Sometime in the future, I'm going to leave the physical body, right? Yeah? Okay. But there's also the space dimension. Our dear friend Albert Einstein said that space and time are inseparable. So everything that happens has a place and a moment. Yeah? So you can't separate space and time. So we have, you know, if we look at the space of our life where we operate, you know, it's probably like this. This is where I live. This is the center. This is my work. This is Madhuban, right? So basically it's like this, home, center, work, work, home, work. Like once to Madhuban, back again, here, again to Madhuban, this goes on for a number of years and then we die, you know, finish. Am I being unrealistic? So maybe you could ask yourself, what am I doing in this? Who am I in this? Where am I in this? Where am I going with all of this running around? So that goes on for some time. And you know, over the years, we understand there's a third dimension. It's actually, because there are three dimensions here and one here. The fifth dimension is consciousness, right? Which is this one. Because I can be and go places in my consciousness that are not physical. So it's another dimension. And there are basically two types of consciousness. This one and that one. Baba's very, very simple. All problems are because of this side. All solutions are from that side. Finish. That's it. You don't have to go the 10 steps of becoming an angel, whatever. You don't need that. You just need to be okay on the right side here. Oh, sorry, on the left side. On the left side. So, I've put it as a polarity, because in electrical energy, when the poles are the same, they separate from each other. Right? If you put a north with a north, what happens? Yeah? If you put a south with a south, again. But in a spiritual way, the things that are the same attract each other. That's the difference between physics and metaphysics. So in the metaphysics, the things that are the same attract each other. So if I'm living on this side, I'm actually creating that sort of reality for myself. And it can be a trap, like this, you know. This can be just a big trap. Center, work, family, Madhavan. Yeah, in some cities in Europe, they still have trams, right? Tram. The bus goes along on tracks and connected to the... A tram can't go anywhere else, right? Tram has to go... Right? The tram say, this is no good, I want to go this way. Not working. So many of us are stuck on a tram track of existence, which includes these things. So what happens with time, you know, we have these dimensions, this thing becomes a box, and you've got, you know, the... becomes a box. In that box, you know, there are these bars, which are like, that limit us, our different sort of vices and interests and karmic accounts, it becomes a prison. And we live inside this prison, right? Here we are. Not particularly very happy, sort of. Maybe we come into Gyan, right? We put a badge. We become a BK. And we move around with our prison. Hello, Om Shanti. How are you today? Oh, pretty okay, fine. Like in some prisons, if we're well behaved, they let us out for the weekends, right? So sometimes we have a reprieve that we get free. Now, there I am inside this limited consciousness. The prison is called limited consciousness, and it's based on those things on the right side. Even if they are things that you've got since you came into Gyan. Maybe what you've done, you know, here you've got your library, right? You changed all the books. You threw out all of your novels. and now you've got Bubba's tapes and Bubba's books, right? You change the pictures on the wall, right? You've got your little meditation place, right, where you sit and pretend that you're actually doing something. Why are you laughing? What? Yes? And you dream of being free. Instead of becoming free, you read about it or talk about it. You organize lectures about it to talk to other people about it. You know, it's like with every medicine comes a sort of a little sheet inside that says, this is how you have to use this medicine, right? And this medicine is good for this and this and this. So we organize retreats and we bring out our medicines and we read what we have to do and we talk about what we have to do. Sometimes we actually take the medicine. But basically, we'll be in this state in one way or the other until we are karmatit. Something or the other will hold me. And I cannot pretend about those things. What I have to do is that I have to change the way that I relate to things. And that's the essence of detachment. It doesn't mean moving away. It doesn't mean turning the back. It means to change the way that I relate to people and things. That's the big... So, my story, in fact, I am the protagonist of many stories. Another Greek word. Yeah? I am the protagonist of many stories. How many births have I had? How many? You know that for certain, or you know that because someone told you? Someone told you. Okay, but who told you? He's a reliable source of information? Yes, okay. So Baba has told us, and we feel, especially if you feel, who feels, even when Daddy Guzar the other day was describing the Golden Age, who feels very much associated with that? Who can feel themselves there? I don't like too much these, they don't have any here, actually. You know, I don't like those pictures with Lakshmi and Narayan dressed up with so much crowns and jewels. Has no attraction for me at all. It looks grotesque, to tell the truth. But what I am attracted to is the purity and the innocence, right? And the lightness. And the way that she was describing the Golden Age the other day, how natural everything is and how easy everything is and how you don't need to think about anything. Right, you like that? You've probably, even before Gyan, you felt very odd in this world, very strange, very alienated. Did you feel? Where am I? What am I doing in this world? Who felt a little bit out of place? Yeah, this is not my place. And who has a very deep love for nature? And who does not understand at all violence? So, you are all ex-deities, right? These are the symptoms of the ex-deities, the ones that used to be the deities. So probably you were there in the beginning. And if you were there in the beginning, and Baba says, well, someone who was there in the beginning has 84 births, okay, I'm an 84-birth soul. I'm not the soul only connected with this body. I am the soul that is connected with all my bodies. All of them. So this story that's happening in this life is a little fraction of my story. It's one chapter of a very big book. Yeah? So why is it so important? The whole book is the important thing, right? Not just this little bit. That I did this and my parents were like that and then this happened and, you know, I broke my leg when I was riding my bicycle when I was 15. You know, I was going through these little stories that I'm the soul. And the difficulty is we have two births in one body. Right? The physical birth and the spiritual birth. So the confluence is like the foundation of the cycle, isn't it? Is that right? The confluence is the foundation of the cycle. So it's like the first birth. So we have the first birth and the last birth in the same body. Which birth is dominating the conversation? Internally. Which birth dominates? The spiritual birth or the physical birth? That's the spiritual birth. This is the physical one. Which I dominates the self-conversation? Generally. Let's be honest. So we did talk about that. Now I want you to do this little exercise. Look at your last 3 months and write down 3 high points and 3 low points. And don't tell me you had no low points. None. Even if you had a lower point, okay? Maybe it wasn't low, 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 but it was, you were high and you went down here. Be honest. So 3 high points and 3 low points. And when you were in that high stage, what was the thing that dominated the self-conversation? Was it the feeling of being Baba's instrument? Or was it the feeling of, you know, serving others? Or was it the feeling of your higher role in the scheme of things? Did you go to the high ground to be able to do something? What was there? What was the aspect that dominated your self-conversation when you were feeling really good? And then look at the other side. Which was it? Was it the consciousness of your role or some problem with your body? You know, some relationship that wasn't working? Because roles are first. And because of roles, relationships are formed. Yeah? It's out of the roles that come the relationships. And out of the relationships come the responsibilities. Right? So, what was dominating the conversation when you were feeling down? Okay, so 3 high points, 3 low points. Was it your, you know, the story, you know, not this again. I've been through this situation, not another person that's going to disappoint me. You know, I've tried so many times, let me try it once more. You know, you're dominated by your own story. So, do it. You got paper? You don't have any paper? This is the exercise that then we will see what happens. three high points, three low points. And what was the main thing that was dominating your self-conversation? Yeah? She wants to know the meaning of protagonist. It means the one who is the acting through the story. You're like the hero. Not the victim. It's the opposite of being a victim. Yeah? You can be a victim of your own story or the protagonist. Pro means in the favor of. Yeah? If you can't get three, at least do two. Okay. Can't think of anything. You don't want to look at it, is it? You never got upset at all in the last 3 months? Irritated? Don't remember. Okay. Congratulations. Okay, how are you doing? Yeah? So what is the conclusion that you take from this sort of thinking? Tell your friends. You don't have to show your list, but tell the people that you've been talking to what is your understanding from this little exercise. In your little group, okay, twos and threes. What have you understood from this little exercise and this reflection about the polarities? Inclusive hoje eu terminar às 10. A gente faz isso amanhã. Okay. Any questions or comments? Questions or comments? Let me tell you, just because I'm standing up the front here with the microphone does not mean that I know the answers. If you have any questions. Can we go on then? How was the reflection now? You want to say something? Something need translator.
Okay. Om Shanti. Сегодня, когда он спросил нижние три точки, ну, состояние, которое вниз, мне почему-то не хотелось вообще его вспоминать, потому что такое ощущение было, что буду копаться в каком-то мусорном ведре. И мне вот вообще не хотелось. Просто только хотелось хорошее.
When you told to find three low points, so he's saying that he don't want to remember at all about this, because like you're going in dustbin and up this. So you don't want to remember all these three low points. It's like a dustbin.
Это на то, что он спросил, почему три.
What did he say?
It's like comment to you that he don't want to remember this low.
Okay,
three
let
points.
Me tell you something. I used to think like that. In fact, in a meeting 3 years ago, we were in a regional coordinators meeting, and Daddy Guzar came to the meeting 2 years ago, and generally our meetings, they have some, you know, business things we have to, you know, some policy things that we have to decide. But a lot of it is spiritual chit-chat, because, you know, we like to learn from each other. And Daddy came to the meeting, she said like this, I want to know what your yuktis are for transforming your sanskars. Right? And so all of the people in the room gave their answers, like Sister Mwini, Sister Chenti, I think Sudhabem was there, Chakradhari Didi, they were there, Didi Nirmala, Charlie, Gayatri, everyone gave an answer. And at that time in Madhuban, what I was doing, I was saying that the future exists. Where is the future? Where is it? That's already inside of us, right? The future is the past. And so I was, my effort was, I can be perfect now for 5 minutes. Right? I can access my highest sanskars for a few minutes, for, you know, 20 minutes, and I can stay in that stage. And my effort is just to look at those things. Just to look at my highest elements. And you know what Daddy said to me? She said, that's not enough. You have to be aware of the things that bring you down. She said, okay, great effort. But why can't you keep that stage all the time? Because there are sanskars in us that make us come down. What are those sanskars? Have you identified them? Otherwise, it's like, you know, I don't want to know about it, I don't want to know about it, I don't want to know it. This is the thing. She said, no, you have to be. And if you look back, 2 meetings ago, I think, with the double foreigners, you can find that Murli, October 2011, when Baba was meeting the double foreigners. Before the Murli, we asked Gayatri to meet with Daddy Gulzar while she was still in Daddy's cottage, and to say to Daddy Gulzar, please, when you go to the subtle regions, can you ask Baba to talk about this topic? And, you know, we were all standing up in front of Baba. Maybe it was a February, I'm not sure now. But we were all standing up, and Baba said, in Amrit Vela, you have to bring up in front of Baba your weaknesses also. And give them over to Baba. Surrender your weaknesses to Baba. Otherwise, you know, I don't want to know about it, I don't want to know about it. And they continue, because we're going along nicely, suddenly something happens. We're not aware that our happiness goes down a little bit, or this much, or this much, or this much. So it's good to be aware. And generally, it's because of some aspect of a role, or some aspect of the body, or some aspect of our own story, and, you know, it's difficult, complicated relationships. Something is there. And it's the consciousness. It's the consciousness that gives life to things that otherwise would not be alive. So either we are, you know, on this side or that side. You can look through the whole day. We try to stay on that side, but something brings us back. And then we go back again, and Bridge Melbourne was talking about gravity, right? So the things of the body, the things of the actions, the world of action, the world of activities. And to stay this side requires power. Requires effort. Effort, in fact, is this, to stay on this side. Effort is not to fall, you know, to avoid falling. Effort is not to avoid falling, but we have to be aware of what can make us fall. Yeah? And this story here, of course, you know, this thing has happened many times. You know, there's this, you know, many births. and it comes. And you know, maybe it has been like that anyway. But I am this, right? I'm the only reality here is this red one. And it's been through many things, right? But all of this stuff, even if we're a BK, all of this stuff has gravity on us. You know? Stay here. Oh, you're okay. Don't make so much effort. You know, you've been doing too much. Too tired. You know? You need more sleep. You're okay. The ego, the body conscious ego, this one, distorts reality. It tells us things that are true, are false, and tells us things that are false are true. So the ego body conscious, not the ego itself, the ego of body consciousness changes everything. Baba says it makes a mountain out of a little mustard seed. You know? And if I go to the soul conscious, I have a bigger panorama. And just to finish off, and this is where we're going to start tomorrow. The limitations make us see the world very limited way, you know. The perspective of the culture, the perspective of the place, the perspective of my own story, the perspective of my experience, you know. I can see this much only. And that's why communication doesn't work too. Because I'm seeing this part and the other one's seeing that part. And you say, it's so clear, how come you can't see? No, can't see. Look, it's so clear. Look! No, I can't see it. So this is a culture. You know, this is the language even. Even the words that we use. And I wouldn't say a vocabulary, but the sort of language even confines us. And the concepts that we have of ourselves. Because, you know, the body has these three things happening, right? Sorry, there's a mistake there. The object, the senses, and the body, right? Make the whole smaller. At the same time, the tasks, the responsibilities, the roles make us see things from that perspective. And finally, the events, the experiences, and the story, you know. So there I am trying to understand this world, trying to understand other people. I will never be able to do it. I have to open the door, right? Opening the door means becoming soul conscious. Because in the very moment I become really soul conscious, the door opens. Everyone has a big past, a big present, and a big future. Every situation has a big past, a big present, and a big future, right? Let me see the whole thing. Because if I can see more, I will understand more. If I understand more, I can decide better. Yeah? So we're going to look at this tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to look at perspective from a soul conscious point of view. And we're going to look at the actual functioning of the soul internally, deeper than normal mind, intellect, sanskars. And on the next day, we're going to talk about how this all connects with meditation. And I'll show you how to have such meditations that you will always be successful in your meditation. You can always be successful in your meditation. So that's on the day after tomorrow. So, let's have a couple of minutes silence, yeah? When we start tomorrow, we can start with a half an hour meditation. Really powerful, okay?